We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning, Grinders. Welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. You're going to follow me on Twitter. And it's Tuesday, March 26th. We'll be taking a look at the 12 game NHL slate tonight on DraftKings. Hit that thumbs up button on your way in the door. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. Join with me. It's not a Tim Tuesday, but it is a Taylor Tuesday. Yep. We keep the alliteration going.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Taylor Rizel, who does the slate summary for premium members, which will obviously be coming out a little bit later today after the show. You know, you have to wake up early in the morning to join me here to talk NHL. We already have news coming in the NHL Discord, which is amazing. You should join it. Rotogrinders.com/Discord. It's free. It shouldn't be, but do it anyway. We've got some Panthers news about Barkov and Forsling returning. I think they're already in the projections anyway. Or maybe not Forsling, but Barkov is. I'm not necessarily sure we'll be targeting the Panthers today anyway. But let's talk about this. Looking over the slate, I don't know about you. I don't think any specific team is going to be like super chalky, but I think that at the three pricing tiers, like an expensive stack, expensive players, mid tier, kind of, you know, that 6K level, and then you have that like 4K level cheapy type of stack. I think there are like two teams on like each of those tiers, and I think all six of those teams will be owned to some extent, but I'm not necessarily sure that. I'm not necessarily sure that any of those six teams will have such outsized ownership where I'm thinking, why am I going to play a 24% whatever on a 12-game slate? I don't know if you see it that way, or do you think that there is a single team or two that is going to have outsized ownership?
Yeah, I kind of do. You don't think the Avalanche are going to get up there?
Well, I mean, I put them on the first tier. Let's talk about the Avalanche. Okay. Their stack projection. I mean, we have the stack projection page here. The DraftKings stack values is for premium members, which always helps me. You know, it's like, okay, because you're not playing players a lot of times in NHL DFS, you're playing lines. Right. So I like seeing like point per dollar wise, average projection wise of what the lines look like. But I mean, Nathan MacKinnon at 10.5, he has the highest raw point projection on the slate. facing Montreal at home. He's at home. You can't get in a better matchup, especially for power play. The issue here is that if you stack Avalanche, I mean,
right.
I mean, outside of Druin, who's actually been scoring pretty well recently. You put a McKinnon, Rantanen, Nishushkin, and what are you doing? You're going to the bank and hoping they'll give you extra DraftKings salary. So to me, yes, I believe that the Avalanche as that tier, that top tier expensive stack is going to be the most owned. I think Nathan McKinnon will be one of the most owned players on the slate. But the fact that it's hard to play the whole line. I mean, like,
right.
How do you play? How many lineups are going to have the whole line and then just try to, you know, as TJ would do, a dollar general the rest of your lineup? I'm not sure about that, because from a raw point perspective, the Avalanche rate out well. But if you run lineups through lineup HQ, it's not like you're getting a lot of McKinnon one-offs.
Yeah.
You may get a lot of like a McKinnon Rantanen duo combo, but you're not getting like four guys in the lineups unless you do some work. So I think that will keep the ownership down. If the lines were organized differently, if Nishushkin wasn't back, then I think it would be much easier for people to play three or four Avalanche.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people will do, I mean, they're going to play McKinnon. To your point, Druin's actually been scoring a lot better lately, but he still doesn't have quite the upside as the other guys, but he's 4K instead of, you know, 8K. So I think what a lot of people will do is they'll have McKinnon, one of the three of Rantanen, Makar, or Nichushkin, and then Druin. So essentially ending up with three, using Druin to lower it. Right now, I mean, I just put in a placeholder just to see what the salary looks like. If you do end up with McKinnon, Rantanen, Druin, Makar, and then kind of your average goalie, to your point, you have 3K left for the last four spots. So it's difficult. I think many will just force it because they're kind of scared of fading Colorado at home, which is completely justifiable. I mean, they could absolutely.
Taylor, I'm not scared. It's only DFS. What are you scared about? There's nothing to be afraid of.
I know you're not, but plenty of people will tweak things and they'll play the, you know, the bad cheap options. And right now I haven't, you know, dug super deep into the value. And, you know, as the day goes on and we have more and more news, we'll see, but I don't think there's a tremendous amount of value. So, you know, that'll probably dictate how popular they end up. If there's punt plays that people feel comfortable with, then yeah, they're just going to get more and more popular. If not, then maybe people just play McKinnon, Druin, and then move on from there.
I think that from a small field perspective, if I had to play like as one-offs, I talk about this with Tim all the time, that I don't like playing correlated pieces of expensive one-offs, of expensive players that are going to be owned. So like, McKinnon gets there not just through goals, but through McKinnon gets hits his ceiling by having 5 points, two goals, three assists. The people that he's assisting to are Rantanen and Nishushkin. I mean, like, it feels like at these prices, 7,400 and 8,200, that I wouldn't want to play Rantanen as a one off because if Rantanen scores three goals, McKinnon probably got there also.
Right.
The two people that I'm most comfortable playing as a one off would be Druin at 4K, because he could get there and McKinnon fail because he's only 4K. So if Druin ends up, let's say Druin has two goals and McKinnon has those two assists, but that's it. You know, like, you know, line three has a goal and they win 3-0, 3-1, something. Like Druin at 4K with 22 points is useful. And McKinnon sitting there with 20 is, I mean, it's fine, but it's not going to win you anything. And the other guy is Cale Makar, because just getting a lot of points in a defender spot is always valuable no matter what. That if, you know, Makar gets the shot and block bonus and gets like two assists and a goal. I mean, like, dude, you can't make up like 40 points at defender easily everywhere else. So I think on this slate, if you're telling me that the Avalanche as a combination maybe more owned than I think they're going to be, which I still think they're going to be one of the most owned teams, I may be just more inclined to, I mean, I'm playing eight lineups today. I'm not a scaredy cat. I may just say, give me Druin and give me McCarr in my player pool and just X out everyone else. And there's plenty of other teams that I could play.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, the one thing I'll point out, I would argue McKinnon can get there almost on his own just because he has some outlier shot games. I mean, if you look at his game logs within the last month, he has 11 shots, 10 shots, 9 shots. So there is a world where he ends up with a goal and assist and those, you know, 10 or 11 shots. And it's like, okay, he can get there by himself when no one else does. But I mean, obviously you're paying 10-5 for him. So that's kind of what you need. You need either, you know, 3, 4, 5 points, or he has one of those double digit shot games that happen a few times a year and a point or two. But anyways, I think the other spot, and I don't know exactly. Yeah. You keep going down. So as I was looking through the slate, I was like, all right, all this looks good. You know, the games are pretty even. And then I get to Colorado and I'm like, oh, and then you keep going and you see that the Stars are playing the Sharks.
That's not the tier team. That's in the mid tier. I want to talk about the team that you would play if you weren't playing the Avalanche. I mean, if you're going to tell me that Austin Matthews is going to be half as owned as Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
I mean, Toronto's lines are, I mean, you could play Toronto as, I mean, if you want to pay up, I mean, you can play Matthews and Nylander together, Nylander, whatever, you know, I mean, with the pronunciations, but yeah. Everyone else is cheap. I mean, like, if people are going to go play MacKinnon and try to just jam in Avalanche, I mean, Austin Matthews is a goal scorer. Like, I like playing other guys with Austin Matthews. And you're going to tell me Bertuzzi's 4,700. Domi's 3,500 playing on power play one and on line one. Tavares, I mean, he's gotten out of his hole. We've gotten news that like Morgan Rielly is not in morning skate, I believe. I think I saw.
Yeah, it's interesting because I saw the same thing. I mean, since he hasn't been on power play one anyways, I think it's less impactful than it would have been like a month ago. It probably gives a tiny boost to like Liljegren's already on the first power play. That probably gives him a little bit more to even strength. So it's meaningful if he doesn't play, you know, like I said, give Liljegren a point or two boost and it solidifies him a little bit more, but probably not a huge piece of news for fantasy purposes.
I just think at the prices of Toronto. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I agree.
If Toronto gets there, you win because if Austin Matthews has a hat trick, I mean, it's hard for him not to be not to carry guys that are only like 4,700, 3,500. Even on line two, I don't mind playing Tavares with Bobby McMahon, who has like zero floor, but he could show up. He could show up with a goal and two shots. I thought that difference between the Avalanche and Toronto would be like ownership wise, Avalanche would be higher, and then Toronto would be underneath to a little degree. But I get the sense from you that
I think the pricing dictates that. I mean, because the value pieces for Toronto are so much, you know, lower and more affordable. You're right. I mean, Domi is going to be extremely high owned, similar to Druin. I mean, they kind of fill a similar role. I think MacKinnon versus Matthews alone, MacKinnon's going to see a decent amount of, you know, I don't have the ownership. We'll have to see what we project later on, but I would expect him to be, you know, if we think that MacKinnon's going to be 20, 22 or something, I would think Matthews maybe like 15 or something, you know, I don't know exactly, but I would expect sort of that discrepancy, which I think is warranted. I mean, you look at our projections, that kind of lines up with what, you know, I mean, they're both at home. The matchup's clearly better for MacKinnon. I think he's arguably a little bit better player right now anyways, just due to his, you know, assist floor. Matthews is going to score more goals, but MacKinnon, to your point earlier, he's going to have at least an assist pretty much every night. So we'll see when the ownership projections come out. I could be way off, but right now I'm expecting MacKinnon to come in a decent amount more owned than Matthews.
So let's talk about the mid-tier. You mentioned the Dallas Stars away to the Sharks. And obviously any team that plays the Sharks is always going to be a target on the slate. The Stars, I don't like the Stars.
I don't either.
I think the Stars could put up 5 goals today, and ever, and no one have a flame emoji. I mean, like in the scoring, because like, dude, does anyone play more than 20 minutes on this team?
No, I mean, that's what makes them a dangerous real life team, is that they're extremely deep. I mean, their top three lines are basically interchangeable. I mean, I think you look at line three of Wyatt Johnson and Jamie Benn and company, like, they aren't that much worse. I mean, clearly their top line is their top line, but their top line is going to play 18 minutes and their third line is going to play 15 or 16 minutes. And so I think I had mentioned this last week. Let me pull up Jason Robertson's game log, because he used to be kind of the guy that you could count on for shots and assists, et cetera. And I think I looked earlier, he hasn't had more than 20 DraftKings points since like January 21st or something. It's been 2 months since he had any sort of upside game. And I think, to your point, that's the challenge with them, is they spread things out. Getting 3 points from them is, you know, an outlier. And even if they do put 5-6 goals on the Sharks, are you going to get 3 points from any particular player, or get, you know, 7 or 8 from any line? I don't know. So I think people are sort of wising up to that. So it could be one of those situations where you think they're going to be chalk, you think they're going to be chalk, and then it comes in and, you know, the cards flip over and it's like, oh, first line is, you know, an average of 12 to 15%, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's probably a value at this point. But yeah, as of now, I don't feel strongly about any particular line, and since I'm a single entry player, I probably will not end up there.
Is there anyone that even stands out really even as a one-off? Because I mean, I'm looking at all three lines and going from their pricing. I mean, Jamie Benn at 4,600, he used to be cheaper. Like, it almost feels like, yeah, why don't I get a piece of Dallas? I could play someone as a one-off, or two people together, maybe not three or four. To me, I just get stuck on, like, why not just play Heskanen or Harley? And just because defender spot, if I could get 20 points at a defender, and there's less defenders that are going to be play. I mean, like, you could count more on the time on ice with Heskanen and Harley than you can on any of the forward players. I mean, any of these guys, like, if Tyler Seguin came out and scored 2 goals, like, I wouldn't be shocked. But I also wouldn't be shocked if any of these nine, maybe Hintz, is not much of a goal scorer. But I mean, I really wouldn't be shocked if any of these people had, if you told me one of these guys had 3 points, I still wouldn't be able to tell you which one of the nine people it was.
Right.
And that's, to me, for a one-off perspective, that makes it, like, who the hell do I play then?
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with, if I were going with sort of a mini or like a skinny stack or like a duo, I think pairing one of those two defensemen with someone that they're likely to correlate on the forward spot. So like, if you went Heiskanen playing one player from power play one, because those are going to correlate better. So, you know, you mentioned Jamie Benn. He's probably one of my favorite, I won't even say values, because to your point, the price has come up. But if you wanted to play Heiskanen and Benn, or if you went the other way and said, hey, I want to play Wyatt Johnston, who's normally one of my favorites, pair him with Thomas Harley, you get that power play two correlation. So I'm inclined to go sort of that mini stack route rather than, you know, trying to pick and choose, just because you don't really know exactly where it's going to come from. If I were having to go one off, Jamie Benn, I mean, he doesn't have a tremendous floor, but I do like that he's power play one, getting a decent amount of ice time on line three. 4.6 is more than he was a month ago, but it's also not going to break the bank. And I think he scored in like 4 or 5 straight games. The efficiency probably will not keep up. So he has, let's see here, 5 goals in his last 4 games, but that's basically on like 9 shots. And so eventually that's going to cool off. But I mean, it's San Jose. Can it go on another night? Probably.
Another mid-range team that I think, you know, it's comparable to Dallas from a projection standpoint. I don't mind taking teams against Toronto. Like, I like this Toronto New Jersey game. Now obviously the Devils, you know, I mean, they've switched stuff up. They've got rid of goalkeepers. I still don't consider them a very sound defensive team anyway. The Toronto has never been a sound defensive team. The way that the Devils are rolling out their lines now, I think they're much more condensed than they were before. Line one of Hischier, Meyer, and Bratt, they're all in the 6K range. I mean, I never mind. I mean, I could play Timo Meyer as a one-off. I could play Jesper Bratt as a one-off. If you had to give me a choice between playing Dallas one or New Jersey one, I mean, I'll take New Jersey one because, like, these guys actually play over 20 minutes. I mean, like these guys actually they'll play over 20 minutes as line one. Maybe they'll play 18 minutes as line one and then all the power play one time. I mean, I know Jack Hughes isn't with them in even strength.
Right.
But
you can mix and match that. I mean,
right.
I agree. And I say this, I'm 0-2. So two slates ago, I had written up the Devils in my article, or maybe expert surveys, like an under unstacked. They went off and I didn't play them. And then I went back to them the following time and they wet the bed. So I'm currently not in sync with exactly when the Devils are going to go off. But to your point, I think line one, maybe two of three of those. And then if you wanted to sub out one, like the other night I did, Heischer, Meyer, Hughes instead of Bratt, that's fine. I mean, they're somewhat interchangeable. Yes, Hughes isn't on the first line at even strength. A lot of their production is going to come on the power play anyways. And yes, they're on the road, but you look at the way that Toronto has their line set up. They don't have some sort of shutdown line. I mean, the way that they've distributed things, I don't know exactly how Toronto will match up, whether it's the Matthews line or the Nylander, or excuse me, the Tavares line. Neither of those really scare me defensively. So I think you're right. The Devils are in a sneaky good spot. I think their implied team total, let's see what it was here. It wasn't crazy high. So I do think that they'll go overlooked compared to some. Yeah, I mean, their implied team total is down in kind of the 8, 9, 10 range as far as where the teams rank. So if they're going to come in the high single digits, I agree. I think them over Dallas one makes a lot of sense.
Now let's look at some of the two on the cheaper tier. That if you're going to play, you know, MacKinnon, Rantanen type of lineups, if you're going to play Matthews, Nylander type of lineups, I think the number one out of the two, and I think some of these guys may be like maybe value play one-off types, but we have Arizona at home against Columbus. Obviously, Columbus is a great matchup. Arizona isn't a good team, though, but they're cheap, right? You got both line one, line two, power play one. You got, you know, Keller at 6K, but you got Bjugstad at 4,600, Schmaltz at 5,100, Gunther, 4,900. I mean, I think Dick Schmaltz is to me, he's a cash play, right? You could play, I mean, you got Sean Durzi at 5,600 with a nice projection at the defender spot. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Coyotes in general. They're, like I said, they're not a good team. Great matchup at home. And they're fair. I mean, most of the guys are 4K-ish. You could mix and match these types of guys in with your Toronto or Colorado lineups. Is this not as good of a matchup as you think?
No, I think it is.
Or is there a specific way that you'd play this Arizona team? Because truthfully, I don't play them that often, so I'm not necessarily all that sure.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, I mean, similar to the other night when the Sharks and Blackhawks played, anytime two terrible teams play, people look for an opportunity to go there because the prices are still cheap compared to when they play good teams and now they're playing bad teams. And so I think they will be very popular. Now, that doesn't mean you can't play them, but they have the fourth implied, Arizona has the fourth highest implied team total, which tells you everything you need to know. And all the optimizers are going to know that, and everyone, you know, so I think what you mentioned before of either Colorado or Toronto, and then people are going to plug in this Arizona value stack, and that's going to be kind of one of the most popular builds. And that's fine. But to your point, Arizona's not good either. So it's not like they are not, you know, capable of busting. And so I don't have an immediate pivot per se, but if it's looking like they're going to be in that 12-15% range, plus the correlation, you know, we talk about it pretty frequently of like, it's not just ownership, it's the combinatorial ownership. So if you go with, all right, Colorado is going to be pretty popular, Arizona is going to be pretty popular, but both together are going to be extremely popular, I'm probably going to get away from that. And like I said, I don't have an immediate pivot right now, but my initial lean is probably be under the field on Arizona just because they will gain so much steam.
Is there a way to play Arizona in a different way? Like I said, I'm not as adept on how Arizona plays. I'm going to assume that Dursey, like I always default to, could always play the defenders that could score 20 points. Sure, I don't mind Dursey. But to me, I think there are going to be a lot of lineups that are McKinnon, Bjugstad.
Bjugstad. Yeah.
I think there'll be a lot of lineups that are like that. And like the power play two combination of like Bjugstad, Kraus. I mean, to me, the power play two is not my style for a smaller field because number one, you're playing the second power play, and also they're all spread out. So it's like you're playing guys on like three different lines, and that doesn't never appeals to me. Can you play a one-off that like can you play Dylan Gunther as a one-off? Because any of these, the thing is that if someone scores two goals at these prices, they get there no matter how they're correlated. Like right. Give if you gave me 20 to 25 points at 5K, at 4K, like I don't care what the rest of the team did because it's hard to get 20, 25 points at 4K.
Yeah.
The question is, who can I play where if they get 25 points, it's unlikely that a teammate also has 20 plus points.
Right.
Or is it the type of thing that people will be playing three or four of these Coyotes? And can I find the two?
Yeah,
that have, I think, 20 that might to 25 be the play. And only play and try to find those two. The problem is that I look at this and I go, well, it seems like I can make 20 combinations of those two because like no one, it's not like there's one guy that's like, oh, he's the one that gets seven shots. It's not like Nashville where it's like, yeah, Philip Forsberg is going to get eight shots or something like you're not playing Ryan O'Reilly as the one-off
right.
Typically. Right. Yeah. I don't know who that is on the guy. I would say Dylan Gunther out of all of them is the guy that's more likely to have a bunch of goals and not do much else.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, part of the challenge is I think they're efficiently priced. I mean, you look, the two most expensive are Keller and Dursey, as they should be. They're the most likely, like you said, to go for 20 plus, kind of around that range. Gunther does stand out as could he end up with 3 to 5 shots and a goal and maybe an assist? Yeah, that would be the one-off piece because he doesn't correlate on the power play with his two even strength line mates. Whereas on the first line, if you're trying to go Smoltz Keller, like I like that in a vacuum, but it's like at that point you're paying 11K for two guys, and it's like that's fine. I mean, they could absolutely get there. Do I think they have some massive ceiling where they're going to get like 3+ points? Probably not. So at that point, you're just hoping for a goal and an assist and maybe the shot bonus from one. So once again, I think they're fine. If I had to pick Gunther one off. Other than that, like I said, I'm not huge on them compared to what I think the field will be.
Right, because their ownership may be high, and they'll come out and they'll win 4-1. And if it's spread out enough, it's like, okay, did you need them? Right. Like you'd be happy, but it may not be as scary of a fade as you think, because like a lot of people, it seems like Taylor, a lot of people don't realize like I'm used to playing soccer, DFS, where we could have a 4 or 5 game slate, and there could only be like 4 goals on the entire right. slate.
And if you don't have it, you're dead. Yeah, that's
right. Okay. Right. Hockey, so like obviously. When a goal gets scored, and it's like, oh, I don't have that goal. Like, just close your laptop because you're probably not winning first place. Is that obviously if it's a substitute, like, but I mean, if they're of any ownership. It's like, it's hard to make up those points. Enough goals get scored. It's the 12-game NHL slate, and the average total of a game is 6.
Right.
So, like, you're talking about there's going to be, what, on average, 72 goals getting scored? So, right. Like, if 3 minutes in, Nick Schmaltz scores a goal, it's not close the laptop. It's he still hasn't gotten. He has not gotten there, right? He's not put up a must-have type of score. And like, dude, I've done well in slates. Last week I did extremely well. I posted in the Discord. It was the slate that there were like 4 hat tricks.
Right.
Right. I had none of the hat tricks.
Yeah. exactly.
And I came in like top five in multiple GPPs that because they were lower owned and I had lines that had all the bunch of points.
Yeah.
Right. People had those like, oh, one guy has 52 points. Yeah, sure. Great. But I have a line that each of my players have 25 of 30. Right. So it's like, I wouldn't feel scared to fade in Arizona, like three or four man stack, because like you said, we're, to win GPPs, you're looking for 3+ point upside.
Yep.
And you're, Arizona Coyotes aren't the type of team that scream. Yeah, no. Any game, those Coyotes that come out there, they could score 7 goals in any game. Like, no, like this could be 2-1 easily.
Yeah. And I mean, at these prices, like you don't have to have 3 points from all of your players. Like if you're playing a line or players who are 4K or below, whatever, okay, you can afford for them to get, you know, a point or two and some shots and things. But when you're paying what you're paying for Arizona, you do need closer to that. I mean, they're not that far away from like the Dallas, you know, some of the Dallas lines. And once again, I'm not in love with Dallas, but it's like, if you compare them side by side, okay, Arizona looks a lot worse by comparison. So anyways, people will do that with goalie as well, where they'll freak out if their goalie allows a few goals early. And I think same thing, they treat it like soccer where, you know, you lose the clean sheet in soccer with your goalie and you're like, oh, you know, all is lost. And it's like, you can win GPPs with a goalie who scores a few points. I mean, I have seen guys win GPPs with negative goalie scores if the rest of their stacks go off. So I get it. It's human nature. People are going to freak out. So anyways, can we talk?
If we don't play cheap Arizona, I have the pivot. I think it's another pretty bad team in a very good matchup. At home against the Anaheim Ducks, and that's the Seattle Kraken. One of my favorite teams from earlier in the season, right? They're always cheap, but they're also in the same price range as Arizona. I mean, you got 4,800 Eberle, Toivonen at 4,500, Beniers at 4K. They're all in power play one. Line two, Schwartz, McCann, Bjorkstrand. Of course, McCann is 6,100. He's the more expensive person here. And you always have options on line three, like Gordon Burakovsky. Defenseman, you could throw in a cheap like Justin Schultz or something like that. But at these prices, I mean, why can't I play? I mean, Seattle one seems fine. I mean, either Seattle one as a line, but I don't mind playing like a Bjorkstrand or a Tolvin in one off. Like the problem with like Batty Beniers is like, does that guy ever get there?
No, it's remarkable. And I watch him play. Like he's a very good real life player. I mean, he was a top five pick, I believe. And
he plays like 24 minutes. I look at the game logs and I go, oh, this guy plays like the most minutes on the entire team, and it's a value. And then I look at like what he produces, and I'm like, how could the guy play for so many minutes and not even put up stats?
Yeah, I think he's just more of those like balanced two-way. I mean, yeah, I don't remember the last time I saw him have more than a pair of points. So I agree. He's probably still going to pop in some of the projections just because he is first line, first power play in a team with a good implied team total. But yeah, I mean, he hasn't had multiple points in over a month. So I'm fine to leave him off. I do like the correlation right now more than we usually get with Seattle because, as you mentioned, they almost never correlate this well. So for them to actually have three players that are on the same line and same power play is huge. So I would be inclined to just go with the Tolvanen Eberle stack from line one or Schwartz Bjorkstrand from line two. I think they have mild upside, probably 2 points and some shots and things. But compared to, you know, the Arizona's are before, they are cheap enough. I mean, I don't think you have to have 3+ points from somebody like, you know, Eberle or Tolvanen. It would be nice, but if you got a pair of points from both, okay, you know, you're fine. You may not be taking down a GPP. So I agree. Point per dollar, ownership, all considered. I think I like Seattle a little bit more than some of the other teams we've talked about.
Dane has just posted in the Discord. Seattle is tricky tonight. Beniers had a maintenance day yesterday, but the coach is saying that two rookie forwards are coming into the lineup, and I'm not sure who's coming out. So I'm assuming if two new forwards come, I mean, they'd be coming in on line four, right? I mean, like the
It depends. So, I mean, they have, I'm blanking on his name. I mean, if one of the fours is one of their high draft picks, I think it's Shane Wright. Yeah. I don't know if he's one of them. I know he was a high draft pick. So I would say wait and see if someone like he actually is in the player pool, he's minimum price. If it's somebody like him, and there's actually a little tag by this Ryan Winterton that got called up. I do not know about him, but if they were to pop into the top six and their minimum price, that would be intriguing to me. But definitely, you know, checking the Discord later in the day, especially if it's somebody like a Beniers who, like we've said, has not been super fantasy relevant. If someone takes his spot and is 2.5K instead of 4K, that's extremely appealing to me. But I think we just won't know that till later in the day.
So I touched on, I think, what is like the either the chalk or the value of the slate, either based on our projections or what will be our ownership. Is there anything that I've either missed that may be popular or anything that I've missed that you think is a good target today?
Yeah, I'll just kind of go rapid fire here. So Carolina, I don't know what people are going to do. Don't tell me
Carolina is worse than the Stars.
Well, I'm just saying I don't know exactly what people will do. They are more concentrated than they have previously been. I think that top line they are treating recently more like a true top line. And so the Penguins are not good. If Carolina is going to be a fraction of the ownership of some of the others, I know we say the same thing about them. They can score five goals and they can't. I think that's getting a little bit less true now that Aho, Jarvis, and Gensel are together. So I'm not there yet, but if you told me that they are 5% and some of these others are 15 to 20, I'm interested. Moving along here, Edmonton, I think people will play because they're getting really cute and saying, oh, Edmonton's going to be low owned. I don't know that I will get there. Once again, I'm a single entry player, so I'm not going to have this massive player pool, but the home road splits for Edmonton are so severe, and I do have enough respect for the Jets. I don't think they've been as good lately, but I don't know. I get it. McDavid can absolutely have 4 points every night. If you want to go there, great. But I think especially being on the road, the Jets can match up like they want. So probably out on that. And then last spot, let's see. I was thinking there was one more here. Oh, my Predators. So Nashville and Golden Knights, one of the best real life games of the evening. I do not think any ownership will be on Nashville. I think there's a great deal of respect for the Golden Knights. I think some of that is warranted, but I do think, like, if you told me Forsberg, if they had a great matchup, Forsberg may be, you know, 15% owned. Instead, tonight he may be 5%. I think as either a one-off or like a two-man with Nyquist or Yossi or something, he still has slate breaking upside. It's not like the Golden Knights are an elite defensive team. That's intriguing to me. Like I said, I probably will not get there, but if I did have, you know, 10, 20 entries, I think Nashville would at least sprinkle in there. They're just playing so, so well right now. Being at home, that would be the one spot where, you know, I would sprinkle if I were an MMA player.
I have one question before we get out of here. Looking at the slate before projections of the last night, putting lineups together, you know, just a dummy lineup, right? Because I like, you know, making my dummy lineups and then entering contests. I was surprised to see, obviously in the morning, I see that the goalkeeper, this is probably going to be the cheap goalkeeper du jour, popular goalkeeper, is going to be Peter Mrazek. I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, Mrazek. Mm-hmm.
At home, the Blackhawks are awful, right? They're facing Calgary, who aren't a great team themselves. I expected the Flames to project better, and they don't project poorly. But they don't project anywhere nearly as well as I thought they would against Chicago. I look at how they set up their lines. Is it more to do that they're kind of spread out? Or is it the Chicago Blackhawks aren't as great of a matchup as you think they are?
Part of it's probably driven. I mean, you look at how we have it set up right now. We technically have line three, and I'm going to put air quotes there. In reality, that's kind of their de facto line one. We happen to have it as line three. So that may be some of why even though they're all in power play one, implied team total is solid at 3.5, but you look, Calgary does spread out their minutes pretty, you know, they roll those top three lines pretty evenly. And so they're bad. The implied team total is fine. They spread it out. So they're going to project kind of average. I think people will probably give them a little bump and they'll actually end up more owned than what our projections would say. They're fine. I mean, there's a huge tier of teams, like you said at the beginning, that are pretty good. They fall in that range for me. And I think there will be ownership for both. I think Mrazek will get some as a cheap goalie, and the Flames will also get owned because they project decently well. So, and honestly, I don't feel strongly either way. I mean, these are two meh teams. Anything can happen when they play each other.
I think Jarry will also be a popular cheap goalkeeper against the Hurricanes. I know you're
I think the Hurricanes legitimately are like a top 3-4 team in the NHL right now. So that would scare me if people want to do that. I get it. They have plenty of shot volume that he could face, but he could also be yanked at the end of the first when he's given up 3 or 4 goals.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're obviously the goalkeeper whisperer, which there is none. There's no such thing as a goalkeeper.
And no.
Goalkeeper's yeah. Frustrating. Who is it? You're playing single entry, right? You're playing one lineup, playing like the 888 or whatever, the 222. It always has the same three numbers. It does 555, whatever the hell.
Right.
Who would you choose as your cheap goalkeeper? Who would be an underdog goalkeeper you would play if needed? Who would be the favored goalkeeper that you'd play?
I do think, and I haven't gone super deep on goalie yet. It's always the thing that I do last because I hate it the most. But I think Mrazek does make some sense. I mean, he's the lowest priced goalie of the night at 7.2K. So I wouldn't feel great about that. Goalies up top. I mean, I don't think that I'm going to go with either of the most too expensive just because I don't see enough shot on.
Jake Ettinger is the bane of my existence.
Yeah. He used to be good, believe it or not. Before you joined the hockey landscape, he was very good. I mean, I would have argued he's a top 5 goalie coming into the year, and I don't know. There's signs of it still in there, but man, he melts down quicker than just about any good goalie where he'll give up one. And once he gives up one, you know that there's like two more coming.
Another goalkeeper up there also that has a good projection that does that also. Igor Shesterkin.
Shesterkin. Yeah. So
right. He's someone that either puts up 36 points or dies.
Yeah. And I do have interest in him. Philadelphia has been playing better, but they aren't an elite offensive team and they do get plenty of shots on goal. So initial glance, he would be on the short list for me. Shesterkin, he had a stretch where he was really, really good and he looked like he was kind of back. Lately, he's been average, but right now I think he would definitely be on the short list. And unlike, you know, the Ottingers and the goalkeeper for Colorado, he will probably still see some volume, whereas those guys could see 22 to 25 shots. And really you're hoping for a shutout or you're not going to get any points worthwhile.
I think from a shot volume perspective, I think whoever starts for Boston, either Swayman or Allmark, I think that's, I mean, 7,600. I mean, you're paying a little bit more than some of the cheap guys, but I mean, guys like Mrazek and Jarry or whoever starts for Nedeljkovic or whatever for Pittsburgh, like those guys could get destroyed.
Yep.
But I mean, I think Swayman / Allmark or whoever starts there. I like playing goalkeepers against Florida, especially when I'm not really playing Florida today, because they tend to get 30 shots out of them.
Yeah, I think Barkov being back hurts that a little bit. I would have liked it more if he was not back, but I get it. According to our projections from a raw points, we have Swayman as the highest price, which means at 7.6K, he'll get very popular. If he ends up being the most popular, I'm probably out because Florida does have the ability to put 4 or 5 on you in a hurry. I don't think it's the most likely scenario, but I'll be interested to see when the save props come out for him. To kind of see how he projects, but in a vacuum, he's definitely a good play. If he's the most popular on the slate, I'm probably going to avoid him.
Talk about save props. Obviously, you could also use our Statistical projections for NHL for prop betting are props and pick 'em package. Even if you're not playing DFS, you could get on it as a standalone basis. So you could check that out. We have all the lines for all the pick 'em sites, right? Prize Picks, Underdog, Pick Six on DraftKings, as well as, you know, we have our prop model, and it's even highlighted per book as well. We've added that to make it easier that, you know, oh, here's the best price, but you don't have an account at this at Bet Rivers. It's like, well, you could just see all the best edges at DraftKings, all the best edges at FanDuel, all the best edges at BetMGM. So go check out the prop and pick 'em package there. We got the expert survey coming out later for premium members, as well as the slate summary by Taylor. And so I'm assuming most of what we talked about today is going to be in your slate summer.
Yeah, it's nice on days where I double dip like this, where I actually start the slate survey the night before. And, you know, my thoughts obviously change a little throughout the day. So this is a good warm up. And then we'll see in a few hours where I'm at. But yeah, some of these same thoughts will be echoed as news comes out in the Discord. I'll obviously reflect that in the article. But yeah, I'll try not to overlap too much to where if you watch the show, you're going to be reading the exact same thing, but obviously there's going to be some similarities there.
The main difference between your slate summary and the show is that no mispronunciations.
Well, people can just read mine and then pronounce it in the voice that you say it in.
Right, you can pronounce it whatever. I did pretty well today, right?
Yeah, you did. Okay. Yeah, Shishurkin's a tough one, and I just say it fast enough where it kind of... Shishurkin. Yeah,
Bukestad. I was close.
Yeah, that one was bad. No, that one wasn't close. But everything else was good.
Is it Bukestad?
You said no. It's Bukestad. But earlier you had said like
Bukestad. I just used the different U sound. Bukestad.
Yeah.
Lilligren has extra letters in it.
That's so good. You just don't pronounce those. Lilligren. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, Lilligren. Okay.
Yeah.
There was Nishushkin.
Yeah, that one's yeah. I think you can do the hard ch instead of, you know, because they call them like choosh sometimes too, like the choo-choo train. But
right.
Yeah.
I always screw up. I always forget it's Nylander and not Nylander.
Those are the ones. Yeah. Like the straight Russian ones you do really well on. It's kind of those like maybe the Finnish or Swedish ones.
It's kind of weird. See, the thing is that since I come from Brooklyn, originally, I knew I was friends with a lot of Russians, Eastern Europeans.
You nailed those. Mm-hmm.
So used to those types of names. Hearing those names in class, not necessarily the Swedish names in class, but I love melodic death metal, so I know a lot about Scandinavia. Yet, I don't know. I guess I don't look up what the musician names are. So I look at these and go, there's way too many J's and L's and double N's and three O's for no reason. And I just I just call you by your first name.
Yep. Good deal.
Well, hit that thumbs up button on your way out the door. Hit the notification bell to always know when we go live. We got Grinders Live later today. Crunch time for NBA. I'll be on tomorrow talking NBA with Will. And then Thursday, MLB opening day. I'll be on twice, actually. We'll be on. Cardi will join me for this show in the morning, and then we'll have Grinders Live 1:15 Eastern on Thursday. It'll be me and Dean, and then followed by Crunch Time there. They're splitting up the slates. So, like, the main slate on DraftKings is a 4 p.m. Eastern slate, so we'll be covering that slate. And while MLB is on, we'll still be talking about NHL. I'll still have Tim, still have Taylor on Tuesdays and Thursdays because we love alliteration here. So if you love alliteration, hit that thumbs up button on your way out the door. And I'll see you tomorrow talking about all things you're thinking about in Daily Fantasy Props and Pick'em on Roto Grinders today.